commercial spaceflight should complement, not replace, NASA. Another lunar lander is ready to rumble. And why can't the Senate get FAA reauthorization done? This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, September 25th, 2009. A coalition of businesses, organizations, and individuals, calling itself Next Step in Space, has released a white paper with a title long enough to require two breaths. Acquiring U.S. Commercial ISS Crew and Cargo Services Creates New Industry in LEO, Enables Program for Exploration Beyond. Breton Alexander, president of the Commercial Spaceflight Federation, explained that the paper was prompted by misunderstandings at a September 15th hearing of the House Committee on Science and Technology on options and issues for NASA's human spaceflight program. Quote, some comments made at the House hearing last week incorrectly suggested that the Augustine Committee's recommendation to procure crew services to the International Space Station would necessarily be in lieu of further development of NASA's exploration program to travel beyond Earth orbit. However, these two programs are complementary, not competitive. As former NASA Administrator Mike Griffin has pointed out numerous times, the Constellation program is designed and optimized for missions beyond low Earth orbit, not for space station servicing, unquote. Mark Sarangelo, chairman of Sierra Nevada Space Systems, added that the American public is just starting to realize that we're about to cede the nation's access to space for humans to the Russians. Quote, we're pleased to see the Augustine Committee's endorsement of a robust program for commercial human spaceflight and look forward to continuing our work with NASA to ensure that jobs are created here in the United States, not overseas, unquote. They call them white papers, but these days there's often no actual paper involved. You can read a copy of this report at www.nextstepinspace.com. Masten Space Systems says it has made multiple sustained free flights of the Zombie, a.k.a. the XA-0.1B vertical takeoff vertical landing rocket, in the past week. The longest was 93 seconds between two pads 60 meters apart. CEO David Masten commented, quote, the flight was absolutely beautiful. The control systems were designed to control the vehicle to high accuracy and worked. We landed within a few inches of the target. That's pretty amazing considering the vehicle is balanced on top of a plume of burning alcohol, unquote. Zombie's propulsion system is a proprietary, regeneratively cooled, isopropyl alcohol and liquid oxygen rocket engine, which has produced up to 810 pounds of thrust. A post-flight teardown revealed minor damage to the Zombie's thrust chamber, but the company says it will have a modification to fix the issue in place for the next flight, which at this point will come in October as part of the Northrop Grumman Lunar Lander Challenge Level 1 competition. Unable to get a permanent FAA funding bill done, the U.S. House of Representatives has passed an extension to continue spending at fiscal 2009 levels until December 31st. The Senate continues to struggle with its version of a long-term reauthorization bill, but is expected to approve the extension in the meantime. MinPost.com reports that both Democrat James Oberstar and Republican John Mica, the majority and minority leaders of the House Transportation Committee, respectively, expressed dissatisfaction with the Senate for not passing the long-term bill by the end of the fiscal year. The House passed its version back in May. Airports Council International North America President Greg Principato expressed appreciation for the passage of the three-month extension, but he qualified it. Quote, it is critical, though, that this be the last short-term extension and that a multi-year reauthorization of the FAA is passed this year, as it provides an important step forward in obtaining the next-gen air transportation system, enhances passenger rights and airline safety, and provides resources such as passenger facility charge that fund important safety and security infrastructure projects, unquote. Up next on ANN, the first 777 freighter is delivered in Everett. A relative novice takes Formula One gold and silver at Reno. And ALPA negotiates for Colgan air pilots. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 25th. I'm Paul Platt. FedEx unveiled its first Boeing 777 freighter during ceremonies at Everett, Washington on Tuesday. FedEx is the first U.S.-based global all-freight airline to take delivery of the 777F and has placed the largest order for the aircraft to date. David Bronchek, FedEx CEO, said about the plane, quote, "Its payload capacity, range, and environmental efficiencies create well-rounded, long-term strategic value for our company in meeting the global shipping demands of customers," unquote. The 777F is the world's largest twin-engine cargo aircraft. It boasts 2,400 miles of additional range, another 14,000 pounds of payload, and 18% less fuel burn than the MD-11 freighter it will gradually replace. Tom Richard, co-founder of Warbird Adventures and the Kissimmee Air Museum, has returned to Central Florida after winning both the gold and silver Formula One races at the Reno World Championship Air Race. Tom's own Miss USA won the silver, and he won gold flying Tim Newbert's Invictus. Both will be on display after their triumphant return to the Kissimmee Air Museum, creating a tourist draw which will hopefully pay back at least part of the cost of all those dead dinosaurs. This was only Tom's second year competing at Reno. Colgan Air's policies regarding crew rest and pay have been under scrutiny since the crash of Continental Connections 3407 in Buffalo back in February. The regional airline's pilots work without a collective bargaining agreement. The Airline Pilots Association has been chosen by the pilots to change that. The union reports negotiations for a first contract began on Wednesday. Captain Mark Segaloff, chairman of the Colgan Master Executive Council, said recent industry scrutiny, quote, "has highlighted a number of issues such as pilot compensation, pilot scheduling, and the application of our sick leave policy that are major concerns for our pilots. So we are calling on our management to come to the table and start addressing these issues in a meaningful dialogue with us. Our goal in this first contract is to find ways to help our airline grow and maintain its profitability while ensuring that our pilots are treated like the professionals we are and compensated as such," unquote. Still ahead, Vans Aircraft celebrates another milestone. Radar is ready to help develop bird strike prevention. And Ken Brock's memory is honored at El Mirage. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design. Maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, September 25th. I'm Paul Platt. Tom Carter of Big Fork, Montana, says he enjoyed his career in the cockpit of an F-16 and says he really needed an airplane that could scratch the fighter itch and still provide good cross-country performance and reasonable operating costs. Long story short, Tom's Vans RV-8 kit marks the 3,000th sold, and when it's completed, will be counted among 6,362 Vans kit planes flying worldwide, a number which will no doubt grow considerably before his is done. Of his choice, Tom calls the RV-8, quote, "everything I wanted. You look out both sides of a big bubble canopy. It can fly like a fighter, or I can put it on autopilot and relax on a fast cross-country flight, too. I toured Vans' factory, and watching their computerized tools in action, the quality of the pre-punched parts was one of the deciding factors for me," unquote. No matter what you think about the Vans RV line and the unique aviation subculture it's created, you have to be impressed with any kit maker that runs up sales and production numbers that would be the envy of many standard category manufacturers. If you're anywhere near Gordonsville Municipal Airport in Virginia tomorrow, try to stop by between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. and see the Vans RV-12. It's the company's experimental light sport aircraft. I had the chance to fly it recently, and it's every bit an RV. In a recent chat with Scott Filliman at Precise Flight, an Oregon company which had an early patent on wigwag landing lights, and more recently has been developing lighting with the potential to reduce bird strikes, Scott lamented that while avian radar being tested at several airports has the potential to detect bird movements, there isn't much an airline pilot can really do in the way of evasive maneuvers. Scott has been frustrated that research funding has gone almost exclusively into radar, with none to study lighting techniques which show promise in giving birds more time to see and avoid the airliners. Yesterday, Scott shared with me that the experimental radar system under test at SeaTac has progressed to the point it can create GPS-like 3D flight tracks of birds near approaching airliners. That data can then be used to analyze bird reactions to mitigation techniques. The next step in proving the value of the lighting approach would be to get a significant number of airliners serving SeaTac equipped with Precise Flight's modulated high-intensity discharge lighting and use the radar records generated to measure any resulting earlier reaction by the birds. Scott is my guest on today's Aero News special feature to explain how birds see the world differently from the way humans do and how we might use that knowledge to better help them see and avoid airliners. And finally today, by the time you hear this, I'll be headed to the El Mirage Dry Lakebed in Southern California, a designated off-road recreation area where each September, Chapter 1 of the Popular Rotorcraft Association hosts the Ken Brock Freedom Fly-In. Helicopters and gyroplanes of all sorts are welcome, but the event is best known for producing the best turnout of Benson gyrocopters and Ken Brock's KB series aircraft that you can find still flying anywhere. In the summer, the lake bed becomes a dry, flat, baby butt smooth 2x6 mile runway surface. It's a fantastic place to train in gliders because with 6 miles, you don't even have to release them. The place also features, well, let's just call it a relaxed regulatory environment that assures you never know just what you'll see. It'll be a weekend of primitive, deodorant optional camping and the chance to see whether my carpool partners from the Utah Rotorcraft Association are still my friends after all the snoring and the long ride back home together is done. But I'm excited we still have the chance to see and hear events like this in the U.S. somewhere. I really wish we'd been able to keep the Bureau of Land Management from imposing a hefty per-vehicle fee just to get onto what is supposed to be land taxpayers have already covered, but this is not the time or place for that rant. Anyway, if I see anything I think will be fun for people beyond the Rotor Geek crowd, I'll be sure to bring back sound and pictures. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my conversation with Scott Philibin of Precise Flight about how birds see the world and how we might use that knowledge to reduce bird strikes on aircraft. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend. Have a clear and unlimited day.